This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. U.S. President Donald Trump has issued executive orders to revive an expired unemployment benefit and defer some payroll taxes, contending he must act because lawmakers have failed to agree on a new coronavirus relief package. But the weekly unemployment benefit of up to $400 does fall short of the $600 out of work had been receiving, and the employee payroll tax deferral is subject to being paid back, at least portions of it. Democrats have dismissed Mr. Trump's orders as falling short of what people need in the face of the pandemic and economic crisis. His presidential rival, Joe Biden, is accusing Mr. Trump of putting Social Security at risk with half-baked measures. Globally, COVID-19-related deaths have now risen to at least 724,000. It's more than 162,000 in the United States, and now Brazil has become the only country outside the U.S. with a death toll of at least 100,000. More than 19.5 million have been infected globally, but with the U.S., Brazil, and India greatly outpacing all other countries. Travelers arriving in Germany from most non-European countries and some regions within the bloc that have high numbers of coronavirus cases will now have to undergo compulsory testing. Frankfurt Airport's test center, which is being run by Syntogene, has been prepared for the mandatory testing, so it says. The tests for people entering from so-called high-risk regions are free for the first 3 days after arrival. Travelers from those countries already have to self-quarantine for 14 days or until they can present a negative test. German authorities say they are concerned about the rising number of cases in the country. This is VOA News. In response to U.S. sanctions on Hong Kong, some of its top leaders, representatives, said that those sanctions were clowning actions. Separately, the Hong Kong government said the sanctions were shameless and despicable. A government spokesman said he will not be intimidated. The United States on Friday imposed sanctions on Luo Huning, the head of the China liaison office, Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam, as well as other current and former officials. Washington accuses these officials of curtailing political freedoms in the global financial hub. The sanctions freeze any assets of the officials if they have U.S. assets, prohibit them from carrying out business in the country, and generally bar Americans from doing business with them. The move accelerates rapidly deteriorating Sino-U.S. ties more than a month after Beijing imposed sweeping national security legislation on Hong Kong. Hong Kong financial regulators moved to calm market fears Saturday as banks in the city grapple with the implications of the sanctions. The market's watchdog said it was not aware of any aspect of the sanctions that would affect how financial firms carry out their normal operations within the city. A Venezuelan court has sentenced two former U.S. soldiers to 20 years in prison for their role in a failed incursion aimed at ousting the president, Nicolas Maduro, in early May. The chief prosecutor said that former Green Berets 34-year-old Luke Denman and 41-year-old Aaron Berry admitted to participating in the May 4th operation. Denman and Berry had been charged with conspiracy, terrorism, and illicit weapons trafficking. Public fury over this week's massive explosion in Beirut took a new turn as protesters stormed government institutions and clashed for hours with security forces who responded with tear gas and rubber bullets. One police officer was killed and dozens of people hurt Saturday in the confrontations, which played out in streets that were wrecked from Tuesday's blast. The explosion at the port devastated much of the Lebanese capital and killed nearly 160 people. Dozens were still missing and nearly 6,000 people injured. The disaster has taken popular anger to a new level in a country already reeling from an economic and financial crisis. The Japanese city of Nagasaki marked its 75th anniversary of the U.S. atomic bombing, with the mayor and dwindling survivors urging world leaders, including their own, to do more for a nuclear weapons ban. And 11:02 a.m., the moment the B-29 bomber box car dropped a 10,000-pound plutonium. Fat Man, Nagasaki survivors and other participants stood in a minute of silence to honor more than 70,000 dead. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil.